Aristea Goes Everywhere, Episode 13, The Circus. Every night when Aristea went to bed, her mother or her grandmother or her auntie would tell her stories of places and people all over the world. And every night, Aristea would dream of great people and breathtaking places. In the morning when she awoke, Aristea would continue to think about the stories and her dreams. Aristea was sure she was a princess, because sometimes princesses had to fight very hard to change the world, even when they weren't born in palaces, like the author Maria Juric. Princesses also had to be willing to do hard and dangerous work, even if they were born in palaces, like Queen Elena of Italy. Aristea wasn't ready to grow up and be responsible for such decisions yet, but she wanted to be ready for them when she was older. Aristea was determined to be the best possible princess she could be, even though it meant she would have to do very hard things. She hadn't, however, decided what particular kind of princess she wanted to be yet. She loved it when her family and friends told her stories about princesses so that she had many ideas of all the things princesses could do, so she had many things to decide from. After many weeks traveling with her mother Antonella, Aristea was finally back at her home in Sicily. Although she missed her other family very much, it was very nice to be back in her own bed, in her own room, and playing with her own toys. A big giant family is wonderful because you are never alone, but it is also very loud, and sometimes, but only sometimes, Aristea liked things to be a bit more quiet. In Aristea's house, though, things were never quiet for long. One evening, her mother had a very exciting surprise for her. "We're going to the circus," she said. Aristea clapped her hands in excitement. "I can't wait to see the elephants." "Well," Antonella said, "we are definitely going to a circus, but we aren't going to that kind of circus. The circus we are going to will not have any animals, but instead people will be doing the most amazing and beautiful things, like flying through the air." Aristea was quite stumped to hear that, and her mouth came open a little bit. "People who can fly?" she asked. She was pretty sure that flying required body parts people don't usually have, but she also knew her mother would never lie to her. It was a very confusing few seconds until Antonella explained. "This type of circus uses acrobats and athletes who can jump extremely high, use trampolines, and use the trapeze to look like they're flying over us. They wear beautiful costumes, and the circus itself isn't just a performance. It tells a story." A story? That was all Aristea needed to hear. She was so excited when she got ready to go that she accidentally put on two different types of socks, and her mother laughed and sent her back to change. "Unless you are trying to make a new kind of fashion statement," Antonella said. Aristea loved the circus every bit as much as her mother predicted. The costumes were so beautiful and flowing, and the performers were able to do such incredible things with their bodies, often high up above the crowd. Beautiful girls were tossed through the air, and strong young men performed flips so fast they looked like a blur. Aristea was able to follow the story very easily, even though it wasn't told with words. When they left the performance, Aristea was absolutely convinced that she wanted to be a princess acrobat and perform in a world-famous circus. "It does take a lot of work, you know," Antonella told her. "Oh, I understand that," Aristea said. "I can go to practice every day." "And it's actually quite dangerous," Antonella said. Aristea scoffed. "Anything can be dangerous, and a princess must know when she has to face danger bravely." She ran ahead of her mother for a few steps with her arms out, as though she were flying through the air under a bright spotlight. But then she ran back and asked, "Do you know any famous acrobats?" "Of course I do," Antonella said. Let's get home and I'll tell you about them while you get ready for bed. Back in her room, Aristea put on her prettiest nightgown and pulled her blankets up just so in order to look as princess-like as possible while she waited for Antonella to come in with her nightly glass of water. She wasn't at all sure how she would be able to sleep because she was so excited about learning how to do all the things she had seen at the circus. Before we tell more stories, let me ask you, Antonella began, how old do you think the circus is? Aristea was not expecting that question, and she guessed. 100 years, she asked, because 100 years sounded to her like a very, very long time. Oh, much longer than that, her mother laughed. Although what we think of as a circus with elephants and performing acrobats has been around almost exactly as long as the country of Nepal. But even before that, the kings and queens would have performers entertaining them, and fairs would feature acrobats and dancers performing, as well as menageries of interesting animals. Aristea loved hearing this, and in her head she imagined women in beautiful gowns eating and watching performances in castles. But it was the time of Queen Victoria in England when circus performers really started to become famous, Antonella continued. And some of them were more highly paid than presidents and prime ministers. Aristea liked hearing this as well. She wanted to be the type of princess who really loved her work, but it would be nice to be able to afford things like vacations and nice shoes and buy nice presents for her mother and father. In fact, her mother said, one of the most famous aerial acrobats was known as the Queen of the Air, and her name was Lillian Lightsell. She was very, very tiny, not much taller than you, and she had bright red hair as well as a temper. But when she performed, she could do more than 100 turns around a special rope she held with her hand, far above the audience. The only problem was she performed with no net to save her if something went wrong and she fell. And for many years, things went perfectly. She was so popular and so many people wanted to see her that she would perform alone, the only acrobat to do so at that time. She had many love affairs, but her third husband, who was also an acrobat, was really the love of her life, even though they fought quite loudly and often. Aristea here reminded her mother, who was Montenegrin, about some of the visits they had with family that would go very late into the night and often had arguments and hugs all at the same time. Yes, Antonella said, I think it probably was rather like that. Lillian's husband was also an aerial acrobat, and during her performances, he would stand right off the stage so he could catch her if there were ever any problems. That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard, Aristea announced. But her mother just looked at her sadly. It was very sweet, but her husband could not always be there when she performed. And so, one night in Copenhagen, when Lillian's rope broke, there was no one waiting to catch her, and she came crashing to the ground. The crowd gasped and screamed, but Lillian got up and demanded to finish her show. No one would allow it, and she was rushed to the hospital. Her husband came just as soon as he heard what had happened, and Lillian seemed to be doing just fine. He left to go back to his own show, not knowing that Lillian would die from her injuries just a few hours after he said goodbye. You didn't warn me there would be tragedy involving the circus, Aristea said. This really bothered her, because although she understood tragedies were a part of many stories, she liked to be able to prepare for them in advance. I am sorry, Antonella said. I think I forgot how Lillian's story ended myself. But not all circus stories end as tragedies. Another talented woman named Antoinette Concello was known as the Queen of the Flying Trapeze. As a child, she was placed in a convent school, but her sister married a man in the circus and brought Antoinette to live with her. Soon, Antoinette was performing as an aerial acrobat. She was extremely talented. She was the first female acrobat to perform the triple somersault. Aristea clasped her hands in delight at this, The trapeze artists who could let go of their bars and flip and fly through the air above the crowd had been her favorite part of the circus she had seen. "Now," her mother said, "things like the trapeze are very difficult and very hard on the body." And so eventually Antoinette had to retire from performing. But she was so good at what she did that she was asked to come back, not as a performer, but as the person who would design the aerial show. She did this for a very long time, almost until she died as a very old woman. A small sigh came from Aristea's pillow, where she was cuddling down into her fluffy blankets. A story that didn't end as a tragedy was a very helpful way for her to fall asleep. "Could you please tell me about another princess in the circus?" Aristea asked sleepily. She was very close to dreaming now, and because Antonella knew her daughter very well, she decided it was probably best to stay away from anything that might be sad or even too exciting so that Aristea would get enough good sleep. "I think, instead of a person, I would like to tell you about some of our family heritage," her mother said, "because in Montenegro we have a special dance called the Oro, which means the eagle, and the end of that dance involves acrobatics as well." "Can I learn this dance?" Aristea asked very quietly, nearly asleep. "I'm sure your Uncle Antonio knows someone who can teach you. Maybe the next time we visit Montenegro, you and your cousin Lorena can take some lessons. But it's a hard dance to learn, and you must have very, very good balance. It starts out with two lines, the men in the back and the women in the front. And a man and a woman will dance together in the middle. And how they dance. They jump and kick and really move a lot. It is very athletic. Then the women and men get into a circle before the grand finale when all the men move to the center and get on each other's shoulders. Then they dance as a pyramid. Can you imagine? Even with people on their shoulders, they go in a circle and kick." Antonella noticed that Aristea had fallen asleep somewhere in the description of the Montenegrin dance, and that she had a little smile on her face. She was probably dreaming of beautiful dresses and dancing and doing somersaults through the air high above an excited crowd. Knowing that Aristea's dreams would be good dreams, her mother kissed her forehead and quietly closed Aristea's bedroom door.